Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21. Says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. It's a very controversial passage. People get confused on it a lot. And I'm trying to bring the truth of the scripture to you today, tell you what the Bible says, tell you what the Bible says, what God says about it. And I hope it'd be encouragement to you this morning. If you're lost, I hope it challenges you this morning. I hope it convicts you, and I hope you get it right. If you're saved this morning, glory to God for that. Thank God for that. I'm glad you are. I would never purposely try to make someone doubt their salvation. I don't want you to think I'm trying to do that this morning. If you're saved, thank the Lord for that. Be assured of that. Scripture can give you assurance of that. Don't question it. If you're saved, you're saved. I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. You can be 100% sure. Scripture tells you can be 100% sure you're going to heaven. And once you're saved, you're always saved. It's not going to go away. It's not going to be taken away from you. You can have eternal security, and I thank God for that. But if you're not saved today, I hope this scares you to death, and it should. If you can't say today that you're saved, you're 100% saved, keep listening. I believe the Lord might have something for you here today. I'm scared that there are a lot of people who have maybe made a profession that they have been saved. They've never had a real possession of real salvation. And I was 8 years old. I knelt down and I prayed like everybody else was doing. And I thought I was saved. And my parents thought I was saved. And I went and got baptized and the whole thing. And I thought I was saved. It wasn't until another 3 years later, I was 11 years old and still young. And then I realized I'd never truly asked forgiveness for salvation. I was just following the crowd. And everybody else in my school or my church was getting saved. So I thought I should too. It wasn't until then I realized I never had a personal salvation, personal possession of salvation. So now down then, I got it right before God. I begged God to forgive me, and I got saved. Thank God for that. He saved my soul. I thank him for that. We were out knocking on doors yesterday, and I had a good day. I had some good conversation with several people. But I noticed something we don't see much back in North Carolina. Back in North Carolina, everybody talked to seems like everybody's supposedly saved, or they go to church somewhere. Their grandpa built a church down the road, so they're saved. You asked them if they know where they're going to go when they die. I said, oh, yeah, we're going to go to heaven, 100% sure. That's where we're going to go. I was saved when I was a kid. I was baptized, sprinkled one time when I was a baby. So, of course, I'm saved. We used to joke about it and said everybody in Union County was saved at least 3 or 4 times, which, no, it's not possible. It's not going to happen. And it was obvious, look at the spiritual condition of my hometown, that was not the case. But everyone had some sort of knowledge of what church was about and what we believe, what the Bible says. They may not know everything, but they had a general idea. I was knocking over yesterday, and I had several told me, well, I've got my own ideas about this and about that, but they were open to hear what the Bible says and what I believe the Bible says and what it does say, and I was encouraged to hear that. I enjoy getting to meet new people and get to share the gospel with new people. My point is this, people everywhere have an idea, whether it's their idea, the right idea or not, they have an idea of what salvation is, and they have an idea of where they're going to go when they die, or they may believe that nothing's going to happen when they die. I met a couple of those yesterday. They say, well, when you're dead, you're dead. That's the end of it. And I said, that's a sad way to live. A man told me there's no way those souls going to go flying through the air and up in some place we can't see. And he said, well, when I'm dying, I'm done. That's done. That's it. And I told him, that's a sad way to live. And he said he's going to live for the day. I said, there's a whole lot more to life than that. Anyway, there's a lot of people have a head knowledge of what eternity holds. A head knowledge of what eternity holds is not going to get you into heaven. Knowing how to be saved will not get you into heaven. It's like saying you know where the oxygen mask is when they're during the fire, but if you're not going to go and put it on, it's not going to be very much help to you. Just because you know where it is does not mean you're going to be saved. Just because you know how to be saved does not mean you're saved. Just because you have a head knowledge does not mean you have a heart knowledge does not mean you're saved. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation. There are many people who know what salvation is. We may even have some here this morning, both members or visitors, I don't know. Is there anybody here this morning that could say, I know what salvation is? I know, I understand it. Can I let you know this morning, just because you know what salvation is does not mean you're going to heaven. It's not going to get you in heaven. I'm scared. I'm concerned. There are many, maybe even some here this morning. I don't know. Like I said, between you and the Lord, I can't decide that for you. There are many, I believe, that have a head knowledge, and they're going to die, and they're going to spend eternity in hell knowing how to get saved, how to get to heaven. So Lord, so I'm going to preach a little, just a few minutes on a profession without possession. I'm going to get right into this morning. Number one, look at these three verses here, and I got 3 points for it. It's not complicated. It's more a simple outline, simple message. I'm trying to make it clear. Number one, verse number 21, we see the warning. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Number one, you want to be saved. The warning here is you must believe on the Lord. Just because you call him Lord does not mean you're going to get in heaven. That's what this verse is saying. There are many today saying, Lord, Lord, many quoting his name, Lord, Lord, this. You can look on TV and many false prophets out there today, televangelists, ones with the big money and the big houses and the big churches and the big ideas, their own ideas. Jesus is warning us of those with the Pharisees in his day. He's talking about right here, or Pharisees in our day. Many will say, Lord, Lord. He says, I never knew him. So what's the difference? How can we distinguish between those, and how can we decide if we truly know if he, how we know if he truly is our Savior or not? John 6:8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? You know the story. And Jesus said, make the men to sit down, and there was much grass in the place, and the men sat down in number about 5,000. I preached a message one time when I was younger on the miracle of the grass there. They're in the desert place, and Jesus says he made them to sit down because there's much grass in that place, grass in the desert. Something to study about, something to think about. Verse 11, and Jesus, he'd make you comfortable in this place. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, and let nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. As Jesus performed a miracle, he made a point. People were fed. 5,000 were fed, at least 5,000 men, plus women and children. It says in verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. They said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. This is the Savior that the Jews, these men, that's what the Savior they've been looking for and reading about, all the prophecies throughout the Old Testament. They've been reading about him, looking for him, waiting for him. They said, this is him. This is the Savior that I've been waiting for. This is the one we've been waiting to come. It takes more than a head knowledge. They may have known that Jesus was a good man. They may have known that he was a good teacher. But they said, this is of a truth. This is that prophet that we have been waiting for. And they believed. It takes more than a profession of who he is. It takes believing, and it takes a possession. Matthew 16:14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. This is the disciples talking to Jesus. Elias and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you believe in him this morning? I didn't ask you, do you know who Jesus is? I didn't ask you, have you read about Jesus in the Bible before? I didn't ask you, do you know what Jesus did or what he has done? I'm asking you, do you believe who Jesus is? It makes a big difference. Difference between a head knowledge and a heart knowledge. We can learn all day long. We can read books and learn about who Jesus is. Until you get it from down here down to here, it makes a big difference. Some have said those 18 inches can get you into hell. Just because you know who Jesus is does not mean you're saved. It takes believing. Knowing and believing takes receiving the Lord. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them to believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. You might say, what's the difference between believing and receiving in Jesus? You just said believing. What's the difference? Webster's 1828 dictionary defines to believe as to expect or hope with confidence, to trust. He defines receive as to take as a thing offered or sent, to accept. He had the offer of a donation, but he would not receive it. What does that mean? A belief is to expect something with confidence. I believe after church today we're going to go get some lunch. Why do I believe that? Because we do it every Sunday. I have confidence in that. I have hope in that. I'm expecting that. Receiving means someone is holding out some lunch, and I take it in and receive it to myself. Spiritually, it means not only do I believe in Jesus Christ and what he's done, what he has, from what I've read, but I receive it in as a free gift. I take it. I take possession of it. I believe it in my heart. I take it. I grab a hold to it. Just like Webster says, he had to offer a donation, but he received it not. You take it as an offer of donation. Salvation is a free gift. You take it and receive it in. Take it to yourself. We have an offer of a heavenly Savior. You have to receive him. The Greek word there in John 1:12, not only Webster, but the Greek word as well, for receive means to accept, to be amazed by, to catch, to take, to get a hold of. Hearing of Jesus, even knowing of Jesus, is not going to get you saved this morning. It's going to take believing what you've heard and believing what you've read in the Bible and listening to the Holy Spirit and receiving him in your heart. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way you're going to get there. There's no other way to get to heaven. There's a lot of different opinions on how you get to heaven. Jesus says there's one way, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't accept Jesus, if you don't possess Jesus, you will not go to the Father, it says in John 14:6, and you're not receive him as your God. Luke 1:35 says, you must receive him as the Son of God. Luke 1:35, the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. How do you receive him? Number one, you receive him as the Son of God. You gotta believe he is the very Son, the only begotten Son of God. He's not just a man, not just a teacher. He is the very Son of God, created by God, one and three in one. They're all the same, the three different personifications of God. You must receive him as your Savior, the not only Son of God, but Savior of the world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Receive him as the Son of God. Receive him as the Savior of the world. Receive him as your substitute. 1 Timothy 2:3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what he wills. That's what he wants to happen. Not necessarily what's going to happen. The men do die and go to hell every day. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You must receive him as your substitute. Take him in. Accept him as your substitute for your debt, your sin debt. You must receive him as your sacrifice for your sin. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of the goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He's not just some special person in history. He's not just a good teacher. I know I've said this over and over again. He is the very Son of God that was sent to this world to bleed and to die and to rise again the third day to be your and my, every one of his eternal atonement for our sins. He came for me and for you. He's our substitute. You have to receive him as your substitute. Don't just know it. Believe it. Receive it. Have you ever received him? Remember that word means to take, to grab a hold of, to accept, and to be amazed by. Receive him as your Savior. Have you ever received Jesus? We see the warning, verse number 21. Just because you profess Jesus, because you call his name, does not mean you're going to heaven. Next part of this verse says, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What does that mean? What is the will of my Father? Some people get this confused and try to get a work salvation out of there. We know that's not true by the next verse. So what is he saying? What is this will of my Father? We just read the verse earlier, 1 Timothy 2:3. For this is a good, acceptable in sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into knowledge of the truth. So God's will for you, first and foremost, is to be saved. And Brother Dill said this morning that to be discipled and to grow and do more for him, do it, have a job to get accomplished for him. This will of my Father, his will for you is to come to a saving knowledge, to receive his Son as your personal Savior. Have you done that this morning? Have you received him? We have a warning. Not everyone that saith me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into heaven, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He that receives the Savior will enter into heaven. We see their warning, we see their works. Verse number 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. There are many people, even entire religions, focused around these works. They want you to be a good person and work your way to heaven. You can work every day of your life. I can promise you, you aren't going to get enough work done. You can spend your entire life trying to be perfect, trying to get your way there, and you're not going to be good enough to get into heaven. It's not possible to be good enough to get into heaven. You're not worth it. I'm not worthy enough to step foot into heaven. It's only by his blood and his sacrifice we can get there. You cannot work your way there. This isn't the Boy Scouts. You don't need to earn merit badges to put on your grave clothes to make it into heaven. Some people believe that. That sounds crazy. Some people believe that. They may not put it the way I just did. Sounds kind of silly. Some people believe they have to be good enough and they have to feed so many homeless people. They may not keep up with the numbers. I don't know. They have to be so good, so go on so many mission trips, and they have to give so much money. That's a miserable way to live. All those are good things. There's nothing wrong with those good works. But if you're depending on those good works to get you into heaven, you're going to die and go to hell being a good person. Salvation is a gift. It's not a reward. You don't earn it. You couldn't earn it if you wanted to. It mentions a few of those works here. Number one, it mentions preaching. He says, we have prophesied in thy name. I hate to say this, but I believe there will be probably a lot of men in our day that claim to be preachers that will not be in heaven. You say, preacher, that's a pretty arrogant thing to say. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I told you it scares me to death. How many people are just going through the motions and just trying to be good people and just trying to be good enough to get into heaven? Jesus says, even those in the Bible that prophesied in my name, Jesus says, it's not good enough that you prophesy in his name. It's not good enough. That's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to get you off this earth. It may be a good thing. By the way, there's no more prophecy today. It's done away with. That's a different message entirely. Anyway, just because you're a preacher, just because you, in his day, may have prophesied in his name, just because you're a preacher in our day, it's not good enough. It's not going to get you into heaven. I can preach the rest of my life here in this pulpit. If I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I'll preach my entire life and then die and go to hell. It's not going to get you anywhere. Preaching won't even get you into heaven. It says, number two, the power. It said, we have cast out devils in thy name. Some people count on the mighty works that they've done for God. Some people count on the amount of charity work that they've done. Or some people count on the amount of different mission trips they've done, different things. They count on these good deeds that they have done. I can promise you, even Jesus says it here, it's not going to get you in heaven. I don't care how powerful of a work you've done. These people even cast out devils in Jesus' name. It says right there, in verse 20, how many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? They were casting out devils in Jesus' name, not in the devil, not sorcerer or witchcraft. They were casting out devils in Jesus' name, and Jesus says it's not powerful enough. It's not going to get you anywhere. They were counting on their power, they were counting on their performance. It says, in thy name, done many wonderful works. It doesn't matter how good of a person you are. I've had the privilege of knowing a lot of good people. I thank God for that. A lot of them are right here in Craig, Alaska. I've worked with some. I've talked with some. I get to go to church with some. Just being a good person, having good performance, being good, doing good, wonderful works is not going to get you into heaven. Yesterday, I was in town, and one of the kids had fallen. Samuel yesterday, fallen and busted his face in the pavement. He's one of the cashiers at the store. Ran out with paper towels and all kinds of stuff trying to help me stop the bleeding because he was destroying, making a mess in the parking lot. There's good people everywhere. Do a lot of good deeds. We've known a lot of good people, but being good, it's not going to get you anywhere in eternity. It may get you a pat on the back here on earth. And you ought to do good deeds. It's not going to get you in heaven. You ought to be good. You ought to do good deeds. You ought to be kind. Don't depend on it for your salvation. Even the Bible tells us we ought to do good works. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. A Christian with no good works is a dead Christian. You ought to have good works. You ought to be a good person. It says here in this passage as well, you should know them by their fruits. Matthew 7 says in verse number 20, you should know them by the fruits. You ought to be a good person. You ought to have fruits. But the Bible also says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. What are you depending on this morning to get you into heaven? If I asked you this morning how you're going to get to heaven, what would you tell me? What are you depending on to get you there? What do you think is going to get you there? You're depending on some old empty profession you made when you were a kid. You depend on some old baptism that you were a part of. You're depending on those good things you've done in your life. You depend on being a good person. I'll just be good enough and get myself cleaned up and get myself right. Get myself back in church and I'll be a good person. Then maybe Lord can use me and I can get saved. It doesn't work that way. We see their works. The Lord says that your works are not going to get you anywhere. Verse number 23, we see their waste. And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. What a wasted life. What is this talking about? He's talking about the great white throne of judgment on the judgment day. In verse 22, he says, in that day, that's the day he's talking about, judgment day. Many will come and they will talk about all the works they have done. In verse 23, he says, I never knew you. What a wasted life. Why would you waste your time doing good things if the Lord's not even going to know you for them? We see, number one, the sorrow. He says, I never knew you. What a sorrowful state to be in on judgment. He's standing before the God of heaven, and he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Does the Father know you this morning? It says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you a part of his flock this morning? I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about joining the church. Although if you're saved, you ought to be part of a local church. That's not what this verse is talking about. Are you one of his sheep this morning? Are you one of his followers this morning? Does he know you? Have you been saved this morning? Have you received him as your personal Savior? Have you received him as your substitute? Have you seen him as your personal sacrifice, your substitute for your sin debt? Don't go through this life living the best you can. Only to come to the throne of judgment, have God tell you he doesn't know you. What a waste of a life. Sorrowful life. You see the sorrow. You see their separation. He says, depart from me. What does that mean? If the Lord is in heaven, he tells you to depart from him, to get away from him, that means you're going to be going to hell. There's only two options. At this point, the earth will be destroyed. Heaven or hell is only two options. That depart in the Greek literally means to go away. Jesus says in that day, if he doesn't know you, he will say, go away, depart from me, to go away. You say, that doesn't sound like a very loving God. Oh, the Lord loves you more than you realize. It's in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Your time to come to him is right now on this earth while you're living and breathing on this earth today. If you need to find peace, go to him now. Go to the shepherd now while you still can. If you wait for that day, you don't know him, he's going to tell you to go away. He doesn't know you. There's some that say, oh, one day I'll get saved, or one day I'll get things right. You aren't promised another second of this life. You aren't promised another second on this earth. You never know when your time's going to come. If you don't accept him in this life, you're not going to get another chance. Your second chance is right now. Come to him today. Get saved today. If you're not saved here this morning, don't leave this place until you get it right. Don't get to the point where God has to say, depart from me. Get it settled today. We see their separation. We see there's the sin. He says, ye that work iniquity. The sin, the ones what we don't like to talk about. That's our problem. We see the sin. The little sin problem that every one of us has a sin problem. We all have it. You say, well, I have sin. Does that mean that God will not know me? That depends. Have you ever been forgiven? We have all sinned. You don't believe it says Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us in here has sinned. Every one of us in here has done wrong at some point in our lives. You say you don't, you're lying and you're sinning when you do that. As sin comes with a price, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Comes with a price. You have to pay your sin debt. Your payment for your sin is to die. You know from the scriptures we've been studying today, if you don't know God before you die, he's going to tell you to get out of heaven. We know from other passages that if we do die and you aren't in heaven, the only other option is hell. There's only two options. Your payment for your sin, the price for your sin, is to depart from God forever, to be eternally separated from him, to be in torment in the flames of hell for eternity. I know that's not fun to talk about. I know you don't want to think about that, but that's the truth this morning. That's what sin will get to you. That's what sin will get you. That's what sin will pay you. I'm glad there's a God, and God is willing to be our substitute for that death that I mentioned earlier, Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was our substitute. He died and suffered for us, and he was perfect, and he took the blood. He took and sacrificed for our sins, took the blood and placed on the mercy seat and paid our sin debt. Just like the Jews used to do with the lambs and the beasts, Jesus was our perfect and our permanent sacrifice. No other drop of blood ever needed again. He paid the eternal price for us all. You just have to ask him to forgive you and allow you to have part of it, to receive it unto yourself. It says Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He doesn't care who you are this morning or what good deeds you have done. That's not a part of it. Has no part in salvation. The only requirement for salvation is that you realize that you are a terrible sinner and that you are, and you come to him with a willing heart and asking forgiveness of your sins. That's the only requirement for salvation. You can do good works, and after you're saved, you ought to do good works. James tells us that. It has no part in salvation. The only requirement for salvation is to come to him and ask him to forgive you. Admit you are a sinner. Ask him to forgive you. The good news is, once he forgives us, he will remember the sins no more. Isaiah 43:25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Once your sins have been blotted out with his blood, he will never remember them again. He won't know anything about them. They will get gone. They will be gone. I thank God for that. I'm glad he washes those sins away, never to be seen again. The devil will bring them up to you. He'll remind you of the sins you've committed and say, oh, you're no good. You're no good, dirty, rotten sinner. Devil, you're exactly right. I'm no good. If he's forgiven you of them, he doesn't know what you're talking about anymore. Once your sin be blotted out, they're gone for forever. It says in Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Gone forever. What about you this morning? If you walk out of this church No one scary this morning. If you walk out of church and you fall dead, where would you go? Not trying to scare you. I'm not going to shoot anybody and walk out the door. And that kind of sounds kind of hard. We said to people, if you died right now, do you know where you go? It sounds like a threat. Anyway, it's the truth. If you died right now, do you know where you go? If you walk out of church this morning and you died on your way home, do you know where you'd go? I'm not trying to scare you. I just want to hear the truth this morning. If you met God today, would your life be a waste? Would it be a sorrowful waste? Would he say, depart from me, I never knew you? After you've done those wonderful works and done good things and you showed up in church this morning, you've done good deeds, is it all a waste? Doesn't matter how good you are, what good deeds you've done, would your life be a waste this morning if you met Jesus right now? My head's bowed, eyes closed if you would. Miss Rachel, would you play for us? If anybody here this morning and say, preacher, I know for sure, 100%, if I die right now, I know for sure I'll be in heaven. Anybody here that can say that, would you raise your hand, slip it up? You know for sure where you'd be when you die. Glad we can have assurance of that this morning. If you're here this morning and say, preacher, I don't know that 100% sure. I hope I would. You know, when I was younger, I knelt down. I thought I got saved. And maybe I got baptized when I was a little kid. Or maybe I grew up in church. My parents took me to church. My grandparents took me to church. Good deeds are not going to get you anywhere. Coming to church alone is not going to get you anywhere. It takes a personal possession of salvation. So you're ready this morning, say, you raise your hand, you say, preacher, I don't know where I'd go if I died right now. You slip your hand up. I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to call your name or point you out. I just want to pray for you. Nobody else is looking around, just me and the Lord and you. Anybody this morning, you say, preacher, I don't know where I'd go. The altar's open down here. This morning you need to come pray, and maybe you need to just thank the Lord for saving you. Maybe you need to get something settled, get some assurance again. Maybe you need to get saved this morning. I don't know what it is. That's between you and the Lord. Why don't you come get it right this morning? You say, well, preacher, that'll embarrass me. Maybe my parents will see me. Maybe my grandparents will see me. That'd be embarrassing. I promise you this morning, they love to see you get saved if you're not saved this morning. They rejoice with you. They're not an embarrassment. Nobody else is looking around. It's between you and the Lord. Maybe you don't want to come down this morning and you'd rather talk in private. I'd be more than happy to take you and show you from the scriptures how you can be saved this morning. Love to explain. Maybe you have any questions. Love to try to answer those for you. Not here by accident. The deal said that this morning too. Lord put you here in this service for a reason. I prayed and asked the Lord to give me the message he'd have me to preach this morning. And I believe if he gave it to me, it's not coincidence that you heard it. The Lord's dealing with you this morning. There's a reason you're here this morning. If he's dealing with you, you better get it right while you still have a chance. If you're lost this morning, don't leave this place the same way you came. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for this people here. Lord, thank you for their attentiveness. Lord, I pray you help them tonight, this morning. I pray there's any lost here this morning, get saved, it's too late. Lord, I pray you convict them and pull them. And Lord, I pray they wouldn't get away from it. Lord, if they're not saved, I pray you get it right. Thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for saving my soul. Lord, I know I don't deserve it. Lord, thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.